Cambridge Breakfast with Neil Whiteside, and I don't like to bring the subject up first thing in the morning, but we're going to talk tax. I'm joined on the line by Nicola Valentine. She's from CKLG Accountants. Good morning, Nicola.
Morning.
How are you? You keeping well? Everybody at CKLG getting back to normal now, are you?
Yeah, getting back to normal. We're having a phased return to the office, so we're getting there.
It's nice to see people again, isn't it? Even if it's for meetings where you're ripping them apart, saying, look, you owe this in tax, you owe that. But it's still nice to see people face to face, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can't beat it. Zoom doesn't cut it.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. Listen, you wanted to talk about several things about offshore tax this month. So what is it in particular that's the problem? Is there a crackdown or something going on?
Well, yeah, so this is something that comes across my desk a lot. HMRC have for a number of years now been tackling offshore tax non-compliance, so where people are getting offshore tax things wrong. And they're not just going after people who deliberately get things like this wrong, who build big offshore structures and things. There's been a big focus shift now to looking at those who make what we would call innocent errors, where they just simply get it wrong because they don't know they're getting it wrong. And we have seen a massive increase in HMRC issuing what are called nudge letters, where they're sort of saying, we have information that shows you have something offshore. Is there something you want to tell us? And they can be quite strongly worded and quite intimidating. But the main thing to do is if you get one, don't panic, but do have a check and have a look. So I thought it'd be a really good time to kind of cover off some of the common myths that we hear a lot and reasons why people often get this area wrong, because they do come up a lot. And some of them are actually quite humorous.
And it's interesting because you often do put this down against sort of the rich and famous, wouldn't you? People like, you know, pop stars and movie stars, you can imagine, or even just successful businessmen, you can imagine that they would have money held offshore. And it's always looked at in a bit of a sort of a glance, isn't it? People view it suspiciously. But it can be genuine, and it can be the average you and I take it.
Yeah, absolutely. So my first common myth is that offshore tax issues are just for the rich and famous. A lot of people think, well, HMRC aren't concerned about little old me. They're going to go after the big guns. You know, I don't have millions squirreled away offshore. But the truth is, anyone can get a nudge letter if they've got anything overseas. Now, HMRC gets information about anything you hold overseas, such as bank accounts, property. There may be an absolutely excellent reason why you've got a property overseas and there is no income generated from it, so that's therefore not on your tax return. But to be honest, they will go after people who have literally just got a bank account. So they get information from over 100 different jurisdictions. They all exchange information now. So if your name is on a bank account in Ireland, or your name is on a bank account in Spain or France, or you've got a property over there, the chances are HMRC know you've got your name on that, and they will now start following up on those things. So worth checking that if you have got any reporting requirements on those, to get them sorted out.
And is it a case of, sorry, I didn't mean to cut across you, but is it a case of, you, as you say, you open a bank account in all innocence, and you just use it perhaps to make payments? As you say, if you've got a house in Spain, you could just use it to have a local bank account that you can pay the plumber when he comes around to fix your leak. But is there any sort of risk there that actually just having an account like that, regardless of what you use it for, could have a tax implication, or they just want to know that everything's okay?
They get the information saying they know that you've got a bank account with your name on it in Spain. They don't know how much you've got in it, whether it's paying any interest. It could have £1 million in it, could have £10 in it. So the difference that they don't know what's in that account. So they don't know that you've not got £1,000 of income that you're not declaring every year. So they're just sort of saying, you know, we know you've got this. Is there anything you need to tell us about this? Because it's not on your tax return. So it's just a little nudge. And then if you have got something, they encourage you to then disclose it and bring your affairs up to date. And so there's no minimum level where my income overseas is tiny, HMRC won't worry about that. They'll never find out about it. The chances are, if your name's on it, they probably already do know about it. So it's always best to go to HMRC first.
Right. Okay. We talked there about property. What about what other forms of assets could be under scrutiny?
So it's things like anything that's generally income producing or going to produce a gain. So you might have property with rental income, you might have a bank account with interest, you might have shares in a company overseas that's paying dividends. You might have sold an asset, which is chargeable to capital gains tax. It's those kind of things that they're looking for.
Okay, what about if you bought a fixer-upper, something like that? So I've got this place in France, and we all see these, but we watch TV programmes where you've got this rundown old barn and you're going to turn it into a luxury gîte or something. And what about that? Because that's presumably going to cost you more than you've, you know, in, to start with, certainly more than you're going to get in income.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're paying out lots of expenses, you may not necessarily be making a gain on it, but the fact that you've got it, you've bought it, and you're going to sell it, you would still need to report that in the UK. So even if you haven't got a gain, you'd still need to report the gain here.
But would you keep hold of a note of those expenses so that when you flog it, you offset that against any gain then? Or can you turn around and go, well, you know, you're going to tax me on my income in the UK, but I've spent all this money over here in France this year?
No, so that the property in France, the expenses you spend on the property in France would be to be claimed against the property in France as and when you sell it. So you can't offset your loss on your property in France against your income in the UK. It doesn't quite work like that, sadly.
Let's be clear, I don't have a property in France. This is purely hypothetical. No. I'm not getting free tax advice off you.
I've got a little chateau hidden away in the countryside.
Oh, if only. Yeah, if only. Norfolk is the best I can manage. But so many people, though, they get involved with, you know, they know about people who, oh, a mate of mine, he did it this way, what you need to do. Again, you're sort of flagging that up as don't try and be clever.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they mean well, but your mate down the pub probably hasn't done his tax exams. I'm sure they're lovely, and it's nice that you can now see them and have a chat with them down the pub. But just because he doesn't pay tax on his Spanish villa doesn't mean you shouldn't be paying tax on yours. Everyone's conditions are completely different. I mean, I so often have clients who say to me, oh, I've spoken to someone and they're not paying tax on theirs. So I'm fine, right? I don't need to do it on mine. Well, they may be in a completely different situation to you. They may have reliefs and allowances that you're not entitled to. So you always need to take your own tax advice and say, I'm sure these people mean well, but they're not necessarily the best source of advice. And they definitely don't stand up as a defence in court that I took my advice from my mate down the pub. So, yeah, it's always worth taking advice on your specific circumstances because everyone is slightly unique. Taxes are just unfortunately just not one of those one size fits all kind of areas. You know, everyone does need to take their own individual advice. Say someone else might have expenses that you're not entitled to, and you know, they may not be getting it right themselves.
But I suppose conversely, you might be able to spot something that people have missed out. You might say, oh well, hang on a minute, the way you are, if you do this, actually that's going to save you money. Is that something that happens often, or does it tend to be get your checkbook out time?
It can be, yeah, absolutely. I've come across so many people that haven't claimed sufficient expenses on things or have got reliefs that they didn't know they were entitled to. So coming and getting advice isn't just going to give you just bad news.
Right.
In lots of cases, we can come and give you, oh, did you not know you were entitled to claim this relief? Oh, if you structure it this way, then actually that's going to be better for you in the long run. Oh, did you know you can have this loss claim, for example, or property allowances? I mean, the tax legislation is littered with all sorts of allowances and reliefs these days. Every year they introduce a new one. It's a nightmare trying to keep up with them all. But that's what we're here for.
Exactly.
Make sure, get it right, but in both ways. But, you know, paying the right amount, but also claiming the right amount. Claim what you are entitled to.
Okay. Well, listen, we've got almost through to the end without using the B word, the Brexit word. But two things. A, has things changed as a result of Brexit? So are people missing something that they need to have had flagged up? And is there anything in the pipeline? Often when we speak to you, you go, but you've got to watch out because there's this coming up in 2 years' time. Is there anything people should be preparing for?
Brexit didn't have too much of an impact necessarily directly on tax because the UK always had its own tax rules anyway. Right. Does have a few impacts on things like national insurance, but I won't go into that for employers who've got people working overseas. But in terms of actual Brexit, it doesn't necessarily change your tax position. However, if your patterns have changed as a result of Brexit, such as you're no longer spending so much time perhaps in your villa in Spain and you are considering letting out, then that would have different tax implications. So I think Brexit doesn't necessarily have any specific tax, income tax, I'm talking income tax, capital gains tax issues, but it has changed people's habits and perhaps where they're living, where they're spending the time. Obviously, COVID has also completely changed which countries some people are living, which I went into last time we spoke. But it does, It's more that people's habits are now changing because they're spending time in different places. They're perhaps thinking, oh, that holiday home that I've got in Norfolk, now I'll actually let it out in the UK because I can generate some income from it. That has changed what you're doing. And that is therefore something that you would need to consider taking some extra tax advice on.
There we go. You heard it first here. It's always good to catch up with you, Nicola. And I'm glad that somebody around somewhere knows how all this works. We need people like you for this. So I think, as always, the advice is talk to your accountant, isn't it? And get sound advice. If you do get those letters from HMRC, it's tricky because everyone gets these scam ones from HMRC saying, oh, we're going to take you to court. But actually, it's always worth running it by somebody like you, isn't it? Just to make sure that, is this genuine or is this somebody trying to scam me?
Yeah, absolutely. HMRC do have a list of what is genuine contacts. And if you're not sure, then do let us know, because we can, quite easily sort of pick out the ones that are and aren't from HMRC. But no, a nudge letter, if you get one saying that you may potentially have something overseas, is there something you need to tell us about? Is that a genuine contact from HMRC? Yeah. Don't panic if you get one, but you do need to check that you are up to date. Making a false declaration can lead you to problems.
Lovely. Nicola, lovely to catch up with you. Love to everybody at CKLG. Thanks for coming on this morning and putting our minds at rest. Oh. Nicola Valentine, thank you.
Great to meet you. Thank you.